reading to you from the 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 1st verse. Let a man regard us in this manner, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, and I gave my heart to Christ over 55 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then one year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Christ ever since. Had a wonderful time witnessing to a man yesterday in a restaurant who he didn't believe anything there is about God or Christianity. And I shared my testimony, and I gave him a book and a movie, and we'll see this week how he come out. He said, I'll give it a read. At least he said he'd look into the book. He'd read it. I said, this is not a book of, it's a book of testimony. It shows you what God can do in a man's life. Listen, kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, pour your glass of iced tea or a cup of coffee. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Philippians, the 4th chapter, and let's read the 6th verse. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplications with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We've labeled this the power of a carefree mind. Now listen, the cares of life can make us powerless. Now, you know that as well as I do. Focusing on problems weakens faith, and cares drain the potential of the mind. Now, listen. Cares are often caused by idolizing money and pleasure. And I read in Mark 4:19, and the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And then we read in Luke 8:14, and the seed which fell among the thorns, there are the ones who have heard, and as they go on their way, they are choked with worries and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Friends, listen to me. Listen. Cares can keep us from expecting Christ's return. Did you know that? Sometimes we get so involved with things of this life. I know, you know, and one thing that I remember when I had this large roofing business here in Denver. We were working in three different states, and we had big crews, and we were busy, and you constantly have to worry about your cash flow, and you have to get material. It's a big job. And I was preaching in Virginia and all over the country in revivals. And my wife and my two daughters and my three sons were actually more or less running the business, because I wanted nothing to deter my work for the Lord. And so that's what we did. But in Luke 21, it says, 21:34, be on guard that your hearts may not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day come on you suddenly like a trap. Well, Paul calls for a carefree mind. He said, be careful or anxious for nothing. Let's read that again. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, letting your request be known unto God. You know, you've heard me say this many, many times. You have not because you ask not. Now, what did he say there? Make your request be known unto God. What is your needs today? What is it you need? What, not what you want, but what is your needs? And if you talk to the Lord about it, and you should, that's why we talk about a personal relationship with Christ. This is personal. And if you want to talk to the Lord tonight, you can talk to him. It's not like a telephone company. Sometimes you call a business and the line's busy. There is no busy signal between here and heaven. If you want to talk to the Lord, you certainly can. Well, how can we achieve this important goal? First of all, we must trust instead of tremble. And I read in Isaiah 26:11, O Lord, thy hand is lifted up, yet they do not see it. They see thy zeal, for the people are put to shame. Indeed, fire will devour thine enemies. Anxiety prevents achievement. Listen, consider the potential of a mind free from fear. Think of the inventions and accomplishments of focused thinking. Faith and fear are opposites. It's just like stupidity and faith are two different animals. Well, I tell you, friends, I remember when I was a little boy, I remember when I saw my first blimp, and I saw my first helicopter. Well, it wasn't called a helicopter then. In those days, it was called a gyrocopter. But anyway, all these things, and when I was a little boy, 13 years old, I went to the World's Fair with a bunch of FFA boys from the Dalles, and we went into this pavilion, and we walked in front of this thing, and the next thing, we looked over on the wall, and we saw ourselves walking, and I was bamboozled, and I couldn't wait to get home to tell Mom and Dad that I'd seen television. Well, that, though, that'll never happen. That was an experiment, and of course, it'll be so expensive. Huh. Well, look what TV's done now. Look what computers have done. You can't invent if your mind is all bogged down with life. Well, faith and fear are opposite, naturally, but faith brings salvation, security, and peace. A peaceful mind is a powerful mind. And listen, friends, faith drives fear away, placing everything within our reach. And I read in Mark 9:23, and Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to them, to him who believes. And then it read in Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. Well, faith is dead to doubts and dumb to discouragements, blind to impossibilities, knows nothing but success. You know, Raymond Edmond once said, the empowerment. Well, that's what we are. We're empowered with success if our minds are free from the cares of life. Well, how do we handle bitterness, wrath, anger, and malice? These hindrances to power must be put away. Anger, of course, is a roadblock to accomplishments. Consider that anger did to Cain, and I read in Genesis 4:5. But Cain, and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance fell. Folks, listen, you know this is true. Anger robs us of the power to bless others. And anger stifles Christian fellowship and service. Ah, verse 32, though, it does tell us this. Forgiveness is the antidote to anger. Listen, anger stifles Christian fellowship and service. I want to tell you a story, friends. years and years ago, I trained a bunch of lay women and women and men and women in lay evangelism. I told you I bought a motor home, and we traveled to three different states holding lay revivals in churches and visiting and training their people how to go out and do personal evangelism. Well, this one man in particular, he always said, you must walk your talk. Well, that's true. We need to walk our talk. Well, now, we had a meeting down here in Lima near the prison, and something went haywire, and so this guy that's always preaching, walk your talk, went to the convention and complained that this wasn't right and this wasn't this and that and everything. Did you know that they made us quit holding these lay evangelism things? Now, this man started a business. He was a salesman, but he started a transmission business. And he started doing things like transmission people do. Some are dishonest. And he would go out and buy transmissions, and they would take the parts out of them and paint them and put them in and say they were new. Well, he started doing dishonest deeds, and one day I'll never know, I guess, what happened. But one day I called him and I said to him, I said something about doing something, and he said, I don't ever want to talk to you again, and hung up on me. Well, man, I was floorboarded. He was one of my better friends. So I sat down, being he didn't want to talk to me on the phone, I sat down and I wrote him a letter. And I said, dear brother, I don't know what in the world happened, but you owe me an explanation. You turned against me, and you need to find that we need to get together and straighten this thing out. We need to walk our talk. Well, he never did contact me in that. And you know what? I don't know what's going to happen. I keep praying that God will bring him back to his knees. Well, here's what happened. One of the things that happened in his business, it began to fail. And so he told a guy, you know what? I don't think God's a very good bookkeeper. Now, this man did give a lot. He certainly did. He gave money to this and money to that in the Lord's work. But he said, God's not a very good bookkeeper. Did he think that all these things that he did for the Lord would make him favor with God? Why, there are some people who believe that if they tithe, God will have to take care of all their needs and stuff. That's not true, friends. God loves a cheerful giver, but you can't make favor with God by doing things. Even good works doesn't bring favor with God. Be kind to one another. Forgiving one another. Now listen, forgiveness opens the channels of power. You remember me telling you about my stepmother who used to beat me and lock me in the basement and abuse me and this and that, and how I hated her and I run away from home, and finally the last I got a job milking cows and I put myself through high school. Well, just about a month before graduation, my dad had a heart attack and was rushed to Portland. And the World War II had broken out, and she came to the town and said, Cecil, you've got to come out and milk the cows. Dad was milking 20 cows and said, you're going to have to do that and take care of the ranch while he's in the hospital because we can't hire any men. That they were drafting people, and men and women were joining the service. And I told her I'd do it only because I love my dad. And I said, I'll tell you one thing, you lay a hand on me or you do anything that's not right, and I'm out of here. You can bank on that. Now, as a senior in high school, I weighed 92 pounds. And she was a nurse, and she was about 160 pounds, I guess, but whatever. Anyway, everything was going well. And I was milking the cows and doing the chores and keeping the ranch going. And she wouldn't talk to me, and her mother wouldn't talk to me, and I'd have to eat by myself. And I was getting kind of lonely. So anyway, I decided to go down the creek to see my cousin. And when I got back, it was about 9 or 9:30, I guess, because I had to get up real early in the morning. So I crept into the house, took my boots off, crept into the house. She could not have heard me. I couldn't have woke her up. But the next thing I know, bang, here come a fist right at my head and knocked me down, and she started kicking me and beating me, and I thought she was going to kill me. I truly did. And then she picked me up and threw me down the stairs into the concrete basement, concrete floor. I cried all night long. I really wanted to kill her so bad. I hated her so bad. But you know, dear friends, I must tell you, I finally, through the Lord, forgave her. I really did. And I even went to see her, and I told her that I was sorry that her and I could never get along and never get things straight. But friends, if you've got a grudge against somebody or you have a hate in your heart for someone, you've got to get that straightened out before your life will be straightened out. You've got to do it. Now, I tell these men in prison and women, a lot of those men and women are turned in by their husband or their family or somebody. And I said, and you hate them. I said, because they've inked on you. But I'm going to tell you what. You've got to get rid of that hate. And the only way that I can recommend that you get rid of hate is through trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. It said in 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your anxiety upon Him because He cares for you. We must cast our cares on Christ and be free of them. Holding on to our cares makes us weak and weary. Now, releasing our cares to Christ sets us free. We have the option of releasing our cares. God loves us. Christ died for us. And this cross proves His caring love in Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, someone told me, said, well, my sins wasn't at the cross. Oh, sure they were. He took the sins of the world upon Him. He was sinless, but He became sin to pay for the sin debt that man owed. And when He said, it is finished, that's what He said. It is finished. Well, listen, let me ask you. Is God's power flowing through you to others today? Can people see that you care, that there's something that you have that they don't have? Now, trusting, forgiving, and releasing turns the power over to God. Friends, I don't know where you stand tonight. Maybe you're bound up with hate, and maybe you're bound up with fear. I know we're living in a terrible time. I mean, it's the finances is bad, and our government is totally out of control and corrupt, and they don't care. I don't know what the problem is, but they don't care. And all they do now, the Democrats are fighting the Republicans and vice versa, and they're not getting anything done. But let me tell you what, my friend. The Bible says that the nation that forgets God shall surely perish. Our president no longer believes that we should have a prayer in our nation. He reads from the book of Quran. Now, the book of Quran says that they're supposed to hate us because they call us infidels, and the Jews, they hate them. And our president absolutely does not want to deal with Israel. He wants to go with the Palestinians. You can read it. You can see it. I'm not taking sides. But friends, we got a problem in our great nation. Oh, we ought to go to our knees and we ought to pray. We ought to pray day and night for our country. Because if things don't change, pretty soon we're not going to have a country that belongs to America. And I was thinking the other night, I was in World War II, then it was World War I, and it was Korea and Vietnam and all the, over here now in Iraq and Iran and all those places. These men and these women who died for our country are being disgraced by the one that calls himself the leader of our country. Are being disgraced. Their bodies they died in vain, actually. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. Oh, how we need to pray that God will get a hold of our country, get a hold of our nation, and get a hold of our leaders, the one that they voted in. We know we have a democratic system. Sure we do. But it's not working anymore. And if we don't, as I see these things coming up, it looks to me like Hitler must have gave them some ideas. Friends, we've got people in our government today who are communists, out and out communists, atheists, unbelievers, and even our leader is not a Christian. We're in trouble. Father in heaven, I love America. I love our flag. I love our men and women who are fighting on the battlefields to protect this great land of ours. Somehow, some way, Lord, I pray that you'll intervene and you'll get a hold of this country of ours. And if people would go to their knees and pray, and you said you'd heal our land, you sure would. Now, Father, touch this message, win souls, encourage Christians. And we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you say, well, Cecil, you know what? I'm not really a Christian. I go to church, and I've been baptized, and I joined a church. But listen, beloved, that won't get you into heaven. Jesus said you must be born again. That means born twice. Now, you say, well, I believe that there's a God. Well, so does the devil believe and tremble. But have you trusted his son, Jesus? If you haven't, you've got to tug it at your heart tonight, and then you need to ask him to come in. If you'd like to have me lead you in that sinner's prayer, bow your head with me right now and pray this simple but powerful prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive my many sins. And Lord, I am opening my heart and receiving you as my Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, call 303-471-8534. I'll send you some literature. I don't care. And listen, I won't embarrass you, and I won't sit down and write to ask you for any money. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
me.
Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Oh, friends, please pray for our country. Pray for our leaders that God will humble them. And you know, you and I, of the people, for the people, by the people, all of us, we're the ones that are supposed to be dictating some of these things, but these decisions that are being made now are not because of you and I. Because what they want. But if we keep praying, God's on his throne. He has more power. Oh, yeah. Well, you pray for our health and pray for our prison ministries. And until this time next Sunday night, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night. May God bless you real, real good.